Again, today it's kind of a unique time in the life of our church where we're celebrating all the things that God has done in this very large effort for us to build a new building. And so I've been asking the Lord to, you know, show me things in your word when the times that men have been called to build, men have been called to do things. And so reading the book of Nehemiah, and to contextualize this a little bit, the people of Israel have been exiled, and they're just returning from exile. And Nehemiah picks up when the temple has been worked on, but the walls are still destroyed, and Nehemiah is not in Jerusalem. But the thing that Pastor Hoffman quoted, I'm going to read to you today. It's kind of our key text. And in Nehemiah chapter 2, and there's some opposition to people. This is as Nehemiah has come in with his intent to rebuild the wall and gates of Jerusalem. There are some people that are speaking out against him, specifically Sanballat and Tobiah. And in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 19, they say, "What is this thing that ye do? What are you trying to do here, Nehemiah? What are you doing?" And Nehemiah responds and answers, verse 20, "Then answered I them and said unto them, The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build." We will arise and build. He spoke to that directly. My message, the title of my message today is Accomplished with the Help of Our God. Accomplished with the Help of Our God. Amen. You can be seated today. As has already been stated, today we're celebrating the campaign that we have called Let's Imagine here internally and what God is doing. And I'm so thankful for that. But as I was thinking over this past week, the question once again of why would we do this? Why would we endeavor to build a new building? And the obvious reason of people in space, but there has to be a deeper than a reason of spiritually. Why would we do this? And I looked at the same question. Why would Nehemiah seek to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem? And I don't know about you, but if I were to ask you, don't answer out loud, just in your mind, if I were to ask you, who asked Nehemiah, or how did he go about, and what was the catalyst for him to rebuild the walls, I would say to you, God told him to. That's just in my mind. I would answer the question, God told Nehemiah to rebuild the wall. And all throughout Scripture, especially the Old Testament, anytime you see some biblical figure take on some massive undertaking, commonly you see alongside that, the thing that preceded it was an angel appeared and said to. An angel appeared to Gideon, said, "O mighty man of valor," and it launched Gideon into this thing. You know, you see these moments. Moses in the burning bush, God speaks to Moses, and his trajectory is forever changed. And so commonly we see these instances where there is some miraculous happening. An angel appears, a voice from heaven, or some sky-splitting thing that causes them to go about and do this great thing or undertake this great endeavor. But, and so I think because that is a common framework, I just apply that to Nehemiah. But that's not actually what happened. When you look at Nehemiah, if you read it, and I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, but the beginning of the book, it begins with a report from Jerusalem. Nehemiah is not there, but he speaks to one of his brothers. This is in Nehemiah chapter 1. And he asks one of his brothers, "I asked them concerning the Jews who escaped, who had survived the exile. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are destroyed by fire." Nehemiah's response, "As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven." Then Nehemiah, after this, the rest of chapter 1 is a prayer of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 2, he's serving under the king, and the king notices that his countenance has changed, that he's sad, he's frustrated, and he asks, "What's going on?" And so Nehemiah begins to explain, and through that conversation, Nehemiah is released to go to Jerusalem. But we don't get any more insight into why Nehemiah did this until Nehemiah chapter 2, when he arrives in Jerusalem. Look at this, Nehemiah 2 and 12. "Then I arose in the night, I and a few men with me, and I told no one," look at this, "what my God had put into my heart to do for Jerusalem." You see, This is not an instance of the sky opening and God saying, Nehemiah, go and build the wall. What happened was when Nehemiah found out about the state of Israel, about the state of Jerusalem, the people of Israel, and what had happened, it caused him to go into prayer and fasting. And so through that prayer and fasting, God began to speak to his heart. And so the reason I create a contrast here is so many times we would like to think when God speaks, then we obey. But in this instance, it was more the fact that Nehemiah, when he understood the situation, he knew that he had to do something. The situation propelled him to prayer and fasting to say, I have to respond. And although today we are so excited about, let's imagine, today is a jubilant day. I'm also reminded that there are things happening that we have to take notice of. Does anybody know what happened right here on DeQuinder Road this past Thursday, just after 7 a.m.? I want you to put up the news article. This was not in some far off place. Look at on our street, there was a shooting at Troy Corwell Hospital. Said the shooting happened after 7 a.m. on Thursday, March 20th, 2025, in a hospital parking garage. An employee allegedly fired 5 shots at another employee, striking him twice in the arm. Although he was treated and was okay, multiple people close to that were involved said the two employees were best friends and they worked together in the radiology department. Does anybody remember what happened on June 15th? 2024 in a neighboring community right close to us? 9 people, including 2 children, were shot at the Brooklands Plaza splash pad in Rochester Hills, Michigan. Do you know where they brought those people after that incident? EMS rushed them to Corwell Health's Troy Beaumont Hospital, along with other families who were injured. That is on our street, not 2 miles from here. Now, I know that's something, and I'm not trying to be a fearmonger today, but it's just a reminder that I want to tell you today the same thing that Nehemiah heard. I want to speak to us today that the spiritual walls of our city are broken and need to be rebuilt. The spiritual foundations of our city need to be built, and we are the church. I want it to be said about us that we're a place where people can come and find hope and healing. People that are broken in their mind. People that are broken in their spirit. People that are broken in their life. The government is not the answer for these people. Society doesn't have the answer. The church is the answer. God's work through the local body, the church of God. We are the answer for the brokenness in the world. Not of ourselves, but because of his power. And it's that knowledge that should compel us to respond. What I'm saying is that God doesn't have to split the skies and say, oh, you need to make sure that you keep building. No, I understand that what's happening in our world should draw some passion out of me. It should drive me to pray and fast for the city of Sterling Heights. And I don't need a voice from heaven to remind me you need to build. No, when I look around in the news, when I look around at what's happening in our world today, I'm reminded again, we've got to build a church because we have to have a place for people to come in and be healed. And it can't just be me proclaiming it behind a pulpit. I need this church to continue to commit yourself to prayer and fasting, to say we want to be a beacon of hope. We want to be a city on a hill. We want to be a light shining in the darkness. That's why we're building a new building. I know I'm passionate today, but we're in a broken world. We're in a world that is so broken, so messed up, and we have the answer. We have the answer. God doesn't have to audibly speak from heaven for us to know that this is the right thing. The state of our world should compel us week after week, and it's something that God is going to continually place in our heart to do. And that's what I need. I know you've given, and this is a celebration, but the celebration is not, yay, we're done. The celebration is, look what God is doing along the way. God needs to continually place it in the heart of this church that we have to build. There is something that God has called us to do. I want people to come into this place. I pray that they would find the love of Jesus, that they would find renewed hope, that they would serve the body, and that they themselves will begin to proclaim the gospel everywhere they go. Church is not just for people that have known church their whole life. I'm talking about people that we read about in the newspaper. I hope that one day they're the people that walk through these doors, that maybe we would read about them in the newspaper. You may not know it, but that they themselves would be the one that walk through these doors and they can find hope and healing and restoration right here, 2 miles up the road from the deepest, darkest moment in their life, because we're a beacon of hope. And let me just tell you something that I want to continue to shift our mindset around. We are not building a building for people to celebrate us. In fact, we should not expect that people should just know who we are because we build a new building. Nehemiah, this man that was going to do something so good, so valiant, I just read it, Nehemiah chapter 2, look at this. So I went to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. No fanfare, no news crew, no people patting him on the back. He was there by himself. Then I arose in the night. I had a few men with me. And I told no one what my God had put into my heart to do for Jerusalem. There was no animal with me but the one on which I rode. Let me just tell somebody today, you don't have to be famous and powerful in the sight of the world to be powerful in God's eyes. I know that everything we're talking about, this what seems to be a very large sum of money in my eyes, right? Well, what we've raised, all these things that we're doing, we're moving forward, we're progressing, building a new building. Culture and society would say the purpose of that is so that you can become more famous, that you can be more in the eyes of people, that you can be high and exalted and lifted up. But the truth is, if our broken world doesn't even know about the power of God, how would they know about us? And we think that, well, once we do this, well, people are going to know. And I do want people to know us, and I do want our community to know where we are. But if I read in 1 John 3, look at this. See what kind of the love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. This is just a little perspective shift. I want to just continue to make sure our perspective is correct. The world may not know who you are, but God can use who you are. The world may never know your name, but your name will be proverbially written on the bricks of the spiritual walls that you are building so that other people can come to God here in Sterling Heights. The world may never write my name or your name on a star in Hollywood, but your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're not doing this for other people to call us good. We're doing this so that other people can find the only one that is good. I don't care if I become famous. I don't care if we become popular. That's not why we're doing this. We're doing this so that thousands can be reached by the gospel of Jesus Christ right here from Sterling Heights. That's why we're doing this. And Nehemiah encourages the people. And he tells them, we're going to build. And the Bible says they strengthen their hands for the good work. But you know what? Whenever you make a decision to do something for God, whenever you step out, whenever you respond to what God lays on your heart in prayer, if you're here today, let me just say that if you've come into this place, and we're talking about miracles, we're talking about the blessing of God, we're talking about the things that he's done, and you, this is a new experience for you, or maybe this is not common for you, and you feel something, let me just tell you that that is the Spirit of God at work on your heart. Yes, God can speak to his people, but he can also speak directly to your heart. And you may say, I just feel something. I've talked to people hundreds of times where they say, I don't know exactly what it is, but I feel something. Let me just quantify that a little bit. It is the Spirit of God working on your heart. And let me just tell you today, there is a miracle waiting for you, and it could be the miracle of your past being washed away in Jesus' name. What am I talking about? If you have never been baptized in the name of Jesus today, I would love to baptize you. We have water ready. If you've never been baptized, I want you to begin thinking and contemplating and praying about that the rest of this service, because could it be that if you feel that God has been moving on your heart, let me just give an answer to that. Maybe that move is to compel you to be baptized in Jesus' name, because when you're baptized in Jesus' Jesus' name, the Bible says that all of your sins, every mistake, everything that you've ever done wrong is washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's a miracle. That's not something I can do. I can't forgive your sins. The name of Daniel Bernard has no authority to forgive your sins. But there is a name that has all power, that has all power to forgive sins, that has all power to wash away. And you're standing in a room full of people who have made mistakes and still make mistakes, but we have been washed by the only saving name, the name of Jesus Christ. So let me just encourage you today, if you've never been baptized, think about it, because I believe today is your day. But guess what? Whenever you, even now, if you're thinking about that, whenever God places something in your heart, when God placed this in Nehemiah's heart, opposition sprung up. Immediately, opposition sprung up. Nehemiah 4, we get to see a little bit of this opposition. And I'm going to paraphrase. Man, and in this case, the opposition was actual opposition of other people. In your life, it could be other people. It could be people speaking against you. It also could be the enemy. Could be the enemy of your soul trying to dissuade you. Anytime God's at work, the enemy's right behind trying to stop it, trying to thwart it. And you know what else it could be, number three? It could be yourself, your own internal monologue, your own internal thought process. And we see it here. Go to Nehemiah chapter 4 in verse 2. He says, what are these feeble Jews doing? They're not strong enough to do this. Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish it up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burn ones? They knew. They could survey the land and see it had been destroyed. Looking at your own life, you may be in here today, but what you're thinking inside is, what can God do with the rubble that's left of my life? What could God really do with what I've got left? You're telling me that God can, you're trying to preach to me and tell me that God can make something out of this burned and broken down? That's what they were saying. Go to the next verse. And they continue, yeah, what they are building, if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. Whatever you try to build, you know it can't last. You know it's not strong enough. You know whatever you do, it's feeble. It's futile. Why? You made too many mistakes. You've tried to build something that's been broken down time and time again. And you could read that. Go to the next verse, verse 4. And they just continue. And they begin to have this monologue. Go to verse 5. And I want you to pause there because I'm going to show you. But so what do they do? What do you do? God gives you something in your heart. This is what you're going to do. This is who you're going to be. This is what's next. And the opposition arises. Do they argue with them? No. And let me say, no, these rocks are better, you know, than you think. And sometimes we try to do that. We try to just, okay, well, let me sit down and think about this. There's some logic behind this. I can think my way through this. I can figure this out. They said, the next verse, don't go there yet. But they said, do they argue? What are they going to do? But look at the answer of what they do in verse 6. There's no argument. There's no response. There's no going back and forth with the enemy. What does it say they did? It just says, so we built the wall. What I'm trying to tell you today is the enemy may talk and try to taunt and try to do all those things, but you just keep building what God has called you to build. You don't have to get caught up in that game in your mind of arguing and fighting. You know what you need to do? Just keep building what God has called you to build. Just keep building those personal disciplines. Get in the Word of God. I don't care what the enemy says. Guess what? He tried to destroy our church. Let us be a testament to you. When the enemy tried to talk against us, what did we do? We just kept on building a church. When the enemy tried to destroy us, what have we done? We haven't stopped. We're just building a church. Let me just remind you, when your mind tries to bring back those things of the past, just keep building. Just keep going. Just keep believing. Don't stop now. Don't listen to the opposition. Don't even argue with the opposition. Just keep working. They're just trying to stop you from building what God has called you to build. Let them talk all they want. We're just going to keep rebuilding a wall. We're just going to keep building up our life. We're just going to keep rebuilding the things that they said would never be built. Oh, let me just proclaim this over somebody today. I know it looks destroyed. I know it looks like there's nothing left. I know what the enemy has said, but just keep building. Just keep building. Just keep building. So we built the wall. They talked against us, so we built the wall. They talked bad about us, so we built the church. That's what I'm proclaiming to you today. The devil talks, we build. The devil likes to talk, and we like to build. There's so many things, and I could read. You can read the book of Nehemiah, and I'm not going to be much longer if the musicians would like to come. But what's amazing about this, you can read. They began to build. They began to work. And they faced more opposition to the point that they kind of paused and they kind of stopped. And they kind of had a little bit of a setback, a little bit of a moment. And we've been there. We didn't stop, but the enemy tried to set us back, and there's some things happening. But what we have to understand is, and you can read it in Nehemiah, basically he says that, okay, if that's the case, then I'm going to put the tools to work in one hand and a sword in the other hand. So they made the decision that they were going to build and they were going to fight. So we have done the same thing. We have decided that, yes, we're going to build, but we are still going to fight the battle all across this world. That's why we took up a missions offering a couple of weeks ago. Because, yes, we're going to build, but we're still going to fight on behalf of the gospel. So I'm encouraged to tell you today that the final number of our missions giving is $100,600.75. That's going to missions. Yes, we're going to build a building, but we're still going to fight. Yes, we're going to stay in the fight, and we're going to fund missionaries, and we're going to help people that have been abused. We're going to help people that are downtrodden. We're going to help people that need help. That's what the church is for. We're building and fighting. Stand with me today. I'm almost done. And I just want to encourage you today. There are so many testimonies that I could share. Some of them are here today. Sister Susan Fellows, during the Let's Imagine campaign, she was in Florida with her family, got very sick with COVID to the point that the nurse that was working with her told her that she was not going to make it. They forecasted that. Everyone was praying for her, and we began to pray, and she was miraculously healed, and the entire medical staff was astonished and did not understand and could not comprehend what was happening. You already heard the story of Josh Blasick. Blood clots in his lungs. On Wednesday night, doctors were going through his leg, up into his lungs, and pulling blood clots out. You don't stand on a platform on Sunday telling the story of what happened just a few days ago. I was in the hospital Wednesday night, and he's here today worshiping God. That's a miracle. We serve the God of miracles. And there's stories after story after story. Another story, Sister Kathy Gallagher in our church, she made the commitment that she was going to give 10% to Let's Imagine. And because of that, the next thing that happened in her life financially, she said that she is making more money now at 67 years old than she has ever made in her entire life. Don't you tell me that God is not faithful. You have come too late to tell me that God does not bless his people and that God does not bless sacrifice. We've seen too much. My message title today, Accomplish with the Help of Our God. What's amazing about that is it's from Scripture. But you know, I already told you, the enemy was taunting and cheering. I don't know what your adversary is. And the enemy didn't really think much of Nehemiah until they did what they said they were going to do. In Nehemiah chapter 6, in verse 15, it tells us they finished the wall. They built it up. And look at what verse 16 says. And when all our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us were afraid and felt greatly in their own esteem. Look at this. For they perceived. It wasn't, we didn't even say it. When God does the work in your life,
Even your enemies will have to say what they said. This work has been accomplished with the help of our God. I'm talking about the God that can do a miracle where you don't even have to tell the story. Your enemies will be the ones saying, I've got nothing else I can say. I can't argue with those results. When they got done building the wall, all of their enemies had to admit, oh, it must have been God. I'm trying to tell somebody today that when God is done with you, the enemy of your soul, all he's going to be able to say is, well, that must have been God. That had to be God. Nothing else but God. So I want to know today, as we celebrate, let's imagine if there's anybody that you have a situation that you're saying, God, I feel like I've got enemies on all sides. If that's you, it may be in your body, it may be in your finances, it may be in your life. Number one, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, let today be the day. Don't let the opposition in your mind and your spirit stop you. You can come find me. You can come find our baptism team, and we will baptize you in Jesus' name, because that's a miracle waiting for you today. But everyone else, let me just tell you that there will come a day when even the enemies of our soul will have to say, it's just God. It can't be man. It has to be God. I know you're in the middle of it right now, but there's coming a day, listen to me, when you'll look back and everyone will say, it has been accomplished with the help of our God. If you want to claim that today, will you come down to this front with me, and will you begin to pray over our city? Will you begin to pray over your family? Right now, would you come? Join me in prayer. Let's claim it in Jesus' name. Let's claim it over our families. Let's claim it over our cities. Accomplished with the help of our God. In the name of Jesus.
worship you, Jesus. We worship your almighty. Come and have your way. Come and have your way. Come and have your way. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's faith in the room. There's healing in the room. Salvation in the room. Break out, Spirit, break out.